Welcome to Questions About Heaven, a podcast about giving Bible answers to our questions about the afterlife with God. Each week, we seek to answer real-life questions with biblical answers about the life beyond this world. Now, here's your host, Brad Zockel.
Well, a wonderful afternoon to you here. It is March 29th. This is Good Friday. And I have had just a wonderful time on live streams and sharing the different prophecies that are fulfilled at the crucifixion. And you may have heard our earlier podcast on that I had downloaded this morning. And this afternoon, I'm going to get back to our podcast in our Revelation series. We're in Revelation chapter 20, which many people would call the Great White Throne chapter. I want to welcome you here. My name's Brad Zockel. This is the Heaven Tour Ministry, and I am having our podcast broadcast here in our barn studio, which is in both barn doors are open. We don't have air conditioning in here, but we do have some beautiful weather. Right now, I don't know what it's like there on this Good Friday celebration day, but here it is just about, let me take a look, it's 71 degrees on our thermometer, 71 degrees Fahrenheit to my international friends. Beautiful, beautiful day. And it is just a day that we can rejoice in the Lord, in the peace and in the times that we have. You may have a busy life, but take some time to set aside and just enjoy the Lord. As I said this morning, if you would like to read about the crucifixion events that happened during the life of Jesus, go to the four biographical books of the Bible, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and specifically within the passages within those books, you're going to go to Matthew 27, or you can actually coordinate them and then go over and read Mark 15, then go over and read the same account in Luke 23, and then follow it up with John 19. So when you see the presentations, remember, as we've talked about much earlier in the podcast, in the study of Jesus in these four accounts, Matthew presents Jesus as the King of the Jews. Mark presents him as the suffering servant. Luke presents him in emphasizing the humanness, the God-man part, and letting him know he can identify with us. He has faced the temptations of us, as it says in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 15. John presents him as the God-man, emphasizing the deity of Christ. And so when you see these four books, remember, you're taking a look at the different presentations of him in these accounts. Once again, Matthew 27, Mark 15, Luke 23, and John chapter 19. We rejoice in this time because we remember that Jesus died once for all. I don't have to worry about purgatory or earning my way to heaven. I walk with the Lord, and I do the best I can in serving him and following him. When I do fall, as a believer, I am encouraged by knowing 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And yes, indeed, when Jesus goes to the cross here, this was a determined thing. He has made this as the will of the Father. God has shown his love toward us, Romans 5:8, in that while we were sinners, Christ died for us. Luke 19:10, Jesus came to seek and to save the lost. And in this determination to go to the cross and be the sacrificial lamb once for all, we look in Hebrews chapter 7. We are going to see the reminder this is once for all. We are reminded in 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18, Christ suffered once for these sins for all time. He was the just dying for the unjust. He suffered once for that, for all time, so that I lean upon him and I take him. And that's why we say he is my Savior. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 10, the offering of Jesus was once for all. Romans 6 verse 10, he died to sin once for all. Are you getting that idea? That this is a full and complete victory by Jesus, and we give him all the praise and the honor and glory as we read about in places like Revelation chapter 5 and Revelation chapter 15. He received that because this is what he did. Hebrews 9:28, he was offered once to bear the sins of many. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 12, His offering was one sacrifice for sins forever. So when we go to Revelation chapter 20, we see the victory of Christ. We move into the next passage here in Revelation 20, which will go to the great white throne judgment coming up as we move on down to verse 11. But right now, when we're reading this, I want to read to you the passage here, Revelation chapter 20. I'm going to start and get it to you in context by reading Revelation chapter 20 and verse 1 and moving on down to our next verse study here. Then I saw an angel coming down from heaven, John says, holding in his hand the key to the bottomless pit and a great chain. And he, this angel, seized the dragon, that ancient serpent, who is the devil and Satan, and bound him for 1,000 years, and threw him into the pit and shut it, and sealed it over him, so that he might not deceive the nations any longer. Oh, remember when Jesus was buried and they put a seal on that tomb, but that couldn't hold him. Well, this seal, by God, will hold the devil until 1,000 years were ended. After that, he must be released for a little while. Then I saw thrones, and seated on them were those to whom the authority to judge was committed. And I saw the souls of those who had been beheaded for the testimony of Jesus and for the word of God, and those who had not worshipped the beast or its image and had not received its mark on their foreheads or their hands. They came to life and reigned with Christ for 1,000 years. This is known as the millennial kingdom. The rest of the dead did not come to life until 1,000 years were ended. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is the one who shares in the first resurrection. Over such, the second death is no power. But these ones, these believers, they will be priests of God and of Christ. They will reign with him for 1,000 years. And when 1,000 years are ended, Satan will be released from his prison, will come out to deceive the nations that are at the four corners of the earth. I'll stop halfway through verse 8 and look at this. What did it say here? They will be priests of God and of Christ. The believers will reign with him for 1,000 years, verse 6. And let's move on back. And what does it say here? They came up and they were being put into a position. The authority to judge was committed. Those that were seated, and we keep seeing these passages, when they are given the authority to rule and reign. Remember this? We talked about this. Revelation chapter 3 and verse 21. My memory serves me correctly. Doesn't it say this? To the overcomers, I will grant to sit with me on the throne. The throne, the authority, yeah, we will reign. That's what it says in Revelation chapter 22 and verse 5. And the believers on the new earth will reign with Christ. We have it here during the millennial kingdom. The 1,000 years and the influence of the enemy is withheld. He is held back here. And we see the thrones here in verse 4. We talked about those who had held up. And we're reminded of Revelation 2:10. Be faithful unto death, and I'll give you a crown of life. And these ones were faithful indeed to the violence of death and were faithful. Now we start here. It says in verse 5 as we continue on, the rest of the dead, which means obviously not the beloved, not the blessed, the rest of the dead did not come to life until 1,000 years were ended, because this was the first resurrection. Okay, well, what are we talking about here with these ones? What kind of a resurrection are we referring to? You have a first resurrection. Well, how many resurrections are there? All right, let's go down to this, all right? So we're going into verse 5, and we'll continue on. We'll go as far as we can in this time and taking a look at the scriptures in the time allotted here. Let me see. I'm doing pretty good on time that I see. Always remember this. In John chapter 5, verses 28 and 29, Jesus gave us the truth of two resurrections. Quote, this is Jesus talking, do not marvel at this, for the hour is come in which all who are in the graves will hear his voice and come forth, those who have done good to the resurrection of life, and those who have done evil to the resurrection of condemnation. Now, the first one, when we, the believers, are called, that was the first resurrection. That was the harpazo, the rapture, as is the Latin term to describe the actual event here. But Latin is not in the scripture. This would be the Greek word harpazo, the snatching away. You have then That was the first resurrection. Now you see, there is a thousand-year break, and then it says the rest of the dead do not come up into the resurrection appearance of the resurrection body till the 1,000 years were finished. Now, when we see this here, we are seeing that the believers at the time of the harpazo, as described in 1 Thessalonians 4 and 1 Corinthians 15, when they went, then we see that they are not there during the tribulation, and they are enjoying in the safety of the Lord in the first resurrection during this time. When we see this, we see that this keeps the believers away from the terrifying second resurrection, in which the dead, as we will see, are taken out of the graves, and they will be judged. Now, we move on here. When we take a look, let me make sure that I went through verse 6, okay? The first resurrection. What does it say here? Blessed and holy. Holy means sacred separateness. Is he who has part in the first resurrection. And blessed means secure. It means at peace. It means a spiritual sacredness as well. Over such the second death has no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ and shall reign with him 1,000 years. Remember in Luke 19, it talked about Jesus gave the parable of those that were faithful to him that would have authority over cities. Well, this is part of this. The truth is coming out. They will reign with him. There will be municipalities in the millennial kingdom. And if we follow what Jesus says, then the faithful ones here on earth, we've talked about this, that you are judged and given rewards based upon your faithfulness. You'll see this in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 10 at the reward seat of Christ. And the rewards, somebody says, are they tangible? Are they carryable? Well, they very well could be honors. And people who had very little recognition here on earth in the secular way, but serve the Lord in a sacred blessedness could be, we may be very surprised at finding the incredible dedication of people in this life that remained anonymous here on the earth, but are given authority over municipalities, over cities, towns, neighborhoods, districts. We don't know the whole setup in both the millennial kingdom and beyond. We don't know the exacting of it. That's lesson to the Lord. But we do know this. What we know is what we know, that there are those here who, yes, will be recognized for their work on earth and will be rewarded thusly. Or for example, you know, Revelation chapter 6, we see that the martyrs are given special clothing. They will be recognized in heaven for what they had done on earth. And we see this here, the reigning of them. Okay, now that tells you the second death has no power. You know, it seems like death, physical death, really intimidates people here. Hebrews chapter 2 tells us that when Christ died, he was able to defeat the one who had had rule over death, Satan himself. He defeated him. But also the fear of death, which had enslaved so many. It is so powerful to know that death will have no intimidation to us. It has no power. Not only will we be residents of the millennial kingdom, we will be priests of God and of Christ, and we will reign with him. Great power. This is wonderful when we see this. When we see also the first resurrection in this, we see then, we follow in verse 7, that after this time of the 1,000-year reign, we get hints about the millennial kingdom in, say, Ezekiel chapter 40 through 47 of the beauty of the millennial kingdom. Perhaps later on in a future podcast, I'll go into detail on the description of the millennial kingdom. But in walking through Revelation, I want to move into the timeline of what actually goes on. But oh, what a beauty. I would suggest you read Ezekiel chapter 40 through 47 to get an idea. Isaiah chapter 65 and 66 will give you hints, bits and pieces here and there, as well as Isaiah 11, the peaceable animal kingdom that will be there, and the wonderful waterways we read about in that passage in Ezekiel. Verse 7 of Revelation. Now, when the 1,000 years have expired, Satan will be released from his prison, will go out to deceive the nations which are in the four corners of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, whose number is as the sand of the sea. Now, Satan will be released during this time. he was incapacitated during this time. But you know, as we talked about, there will be sin on the millennial kingdom. People who, as 1 John tells us, chapter 2, they will be enticed by the pride of life, by the lust of the flesh, by the lust of the eyes. They don't need to have Satan around for that. But now he is released, and he will organize a rebellion here. He will go out to deceive the nations, and that's one of his calling cards, is a deceiver. He's going to gather them in the four corners of the earth. You have a curious phrase here, Gog and Magog, but for the purpose of gathering them to battle, and of course, this is a massive number here when this goes. Jesus has done an incredible on-the-earth leadership here. So what's happening here? The earth rebels? Well, this just gives you an idea. One more time, you don't have to have Satan in order to follow your own ways of selfishness. When man was given free will, had the right, he doesn't have to have somebody there talking in his ear. Cain and Abel, in the very initial, what was it? Just brought on Cain's bitterness and wanting to do what he would want to do, and people will do this. Oh, they may show, they may go to Jerusalem to follow the festivals, but just as Judas walked among them, and as we're reminded, they were among us, but they were not of us, as it says in 1 John. This was the same way. You may give the appearance of following, but there was an inner rebellion too. Now, when this happens, we're also reminded of something else. There are people that would argue, if we just lived in a perfect environment, everybody would follow the Lord. Everybody. I mean, if we have this kingdom under the curse, and indeed, Romans 8, we are under the curse. Verses 19 through 22 tell us that. But if everything was perfect, well, we see the example here, that's not so. When we see this, we would see people just say, it's not me, it's what's around me, or it's my environment, some people will say that. But, no, there's enough people that he can gather them together, and the description is they are as the sand of the sea. Now, when they do this, these ones that have been born, and they would say, Dad, Mom, tell me about Armageddon. And the first generation there in the thousand-year reign would be totally enamored by the victory of Christ and him walking in and proclaiming. And then their generation would say, well, okay, well, did Grandpa say that there was a battle of Armageddon? Then when we get to the great-grandpa age, oh, really? And you would see this, and we see this through history, as those that would move down in generations that hadn't been right up against something that was magnificent, show a disdain for it. Well, that would happen over 1,000 years. We know that their lifeline will be much longer, as it says, but just the same, their rebellion will also be long. Gog and Magog, all right, when we see this. When you take a look in Ezekiel, you will find in chapter 38 and chapter 39, these terms are used. It's kind of like when we talked about Jezebel. Jezebel's used many times. Is talking about a rebellious woman, or Babylon. There is a physical Babylon, but it's used as such as Revelation 17, religious Babylon, and Revelation chapter 18 would be the financial Babylon. Okay, so the same thing here. This is a symbolic name here when they go. When you see this in the battles, I would encourage you to read Ezekiel 38 and 39, in it's talking about the massive powers that be taking him on. And this battle is, would I say instantaneous? Yeah, I would agree with that. Listen to this in verse 9. They went up to the breadth of the earth and surrounded the camp of the saints. The saints would be the Christians, the believers, the separated ones, all right? And the beloved city, which is Jerusalem. So what happens? This battle is as complete and quick as Armageddon was. And fire came down from God out of heaven. Every time we see fire in the Bible, remember what I told you, the symbolism? Holy judgment. Well, it's holy judgment here. And fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. The devil who deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are. And they will be tormented day and night forever and ever. Now, when we are talking about those that are here, these saints, they are with Jesus, whether these ones, this is all of the saints, of the world gathered at a festival or just those within there? We don't know. The emphasis is not on that. The emphasis is upon the judgment of the enemy here, the ones as the sand of the sea, feeling by sheer numbers they will overcome. Just like the one young man who sat in our house and said, you know, we non-believers, we'll outnumber you within a generation or two. And I said, you don't realize you already do. But the funny thing is, when we talk about this in the scriptures, and we see that the outnumbering has been going on, the book of Kings talk about, of those millions that are there, there are only about 5,000 that would stay loyal to the Lord. We are always in the minority, but it's not a democratic vote on spirituality. It is the right and wrong. Fire comes down from God out of heaven and devours them. This is, I wouldn't even know if you'd call this even a war, even a battle, because it's the same way as with Armageddon. It just is over with. They are cast into the lake of fire. Satan is quickly judged. Did you see the lack of ceremony? It's over. And as I said before, when he was thrown into the abyss before the millennium, there was no ceremony. An unnamed angel throws him in there. And this one steeped in pride is once again humiliated, just thrown there. He's thrown with his cohorts of the anti-Trinity, the beast and the false prophet, and they would be there at for 1,000 years. And so we would also see that this is going to be, they are tormented day and night. It is very clear. There's no, what would you say, spiritualization of this term or trying to make this anything other than literal. This tells you, and the Greek is very clear, forever and ever. That then takes us to verse 11, in which our next podcast, we will talk about the great white throne judgment. So I want to thank you for joining me today. This is Brad, as we've been looking through this magnificent passage here, Revelation 20, God the Judge. We praise him. We find him as the Alpha and the Omega of Revelation chapter 1 and verse 8. And we also would call our Lord the bread of life, as we see in John 6:32. But always remember, our God is holy. He is holy. Psalm 60 and verse 6, God speaks in his holiness. Psalm 47 and verse 8, God sits upon the throne of his holiness. Psalm 111 verse 9, holy is his name. Always remember this. This is a God who does not play as a celestial Santa Claus. He is just, and from the very beginning, the call of the believers was, will justice ever be done? And you see it being done here. Well, I see my time's gone. Got to get going here. Thank you so much. Hey, thank you for helping out with our new transportation. I've been talking with different ones on our new vehicle. The current vehicle's at $243,000, and it's getting kind of old and run down here, but you've been so kind. If you'd like to help us out with that, a sister ministry, acornglobal.org, Acorn Global Outreach, Advance. The wonderful ministry headed up by the wonderful CEO and minister, Dr. Rick Cross, is making this possible to handle all of that while I can continue to minister. They said, we'll handle your car fund. If you'd like to give, they are a 501c3 as we are. You go over to acornglobal.org. And right now, I think we're at 41% of our goal of taking care of the $12,500 goal of being able to get a new vehicle, and we're lining up looking at different vehicles. Thank you so much. And don't forget, if you'd like to get one of our books, Amazon carries them, and that would be Heaven, The Adventure Begins, and also What is Heaven All About? Thank you so much, my friends. This is Brad as we continue the Revelation edition of the Questions About Heaven. Thank you. God bless you. And Lord willing, we'll talk soon.
Thank you for listening to Questions About Heaven with Brad Zockel. The Heaven Tour Ministry is traveling across the country and speaking on the Bible truths about our eternal home with God. You can find out more about our ministry by visiting our website at www.theheaventour.com. If you'd like to partner with us, receive our newsletter, or donate to our ministry, please go to our website at theheaventour.com. Look for the Heaven Tour Ministry on Facebook, TikTok, and YouTube. Thank you, and God bless you greatly.